blessed Sunday morning. Receive our worship, Heavenly Father. Accept it, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, that it be acceptable in your sight, Heavenly Father. We cast our crowns before you. We exhaust ourselves before you. We let our tears flow before you, Lord God, so that you can put them in vials and anoint us for a later time. Use us, Lord God. Open up our hearts, minds, and spirits. Remove the spirit of skepticism, Lord God. And let us open up ourselves to you for healing and deliverance, to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit, with a capital H. Lord, have mercy. By his spirit, amen. I just have a couple of announcements. I know that we have a lot of people that are out this particular weekend. I think after the turn up, you know, a little bit of a hangover, whatnot, and then, of course, a little bit of a turkey hangover, too. How many of y'all had a good time with your families this time around? Amen. 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 You may not have the biggest family. It may be a family of one or two, but as long as you're alive and breathing, that is good news. That is good news in the house of the Lord. And if you didn't think that you had any family, just turn to your left and turn to your right. Them be your family right there. All right? All right. We still love you with the love of the Lord. Upcoming Saturday, December the 1st. My goodness, it was just June and now it's already December the 1st. And my pockets are feeling, I got veins on my pockets right now. They're just strained. We're just trying to make it to January 2nd. But this Saturday, December the 1st, Divine Design Women's Ministry presents Let's Have Brunch. Join the ladies of Divine Truth Christian Center for brunch at Metro Diner here in Altamont Springs at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, please see Alicia Winsley for those particular details. It is not a church event. Bring somebody with you. You know Sheila around the corner that don't be wanting to come to anything on Sunday? Well, you can bring her on Saturday instead. All right? All right. They ain't got nothing to do. So just tell her to come on out and fellowship. I believe that the body of Christ needs to have better social skills. Amen. It seems like when you were not saved, you could just be everywhere. But now that you're saved, you don't want to talk to nobody. Where do you do that at? I just don't want to be influenced by the devil. No. When you are saved, you carry the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go. Socialize with people. Jesus sat among sinners and wine bibbers. He was among them, but he didn't change form. Amen. So just go among them. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. All right. Saturday, December the 22nd. Saturday, December 15th at 6 p.m. Save the date for our Christmas potluck party. For more information, please see Sister Tiffany Davis or Sister Akile Mara for that. We will be having a great event, time of celebration together. I don't have to preach that particular day, so it's not a church service, y'all. It's for us to be able to come and fellowship one another. In my old church voice, it's Family and Friends Day for Divine Truth, okay? So go ahead and bring your family and friends out for a wonderful time. And there will be food there as well. All right. Also, on Saturday, December the 22nd, save the date for another opportunity to serve our community. Divine Truth will be hosting a food and blanket giveaway. You see that? You hear that? We will be hosting a food and blanket giveaway for the homeless in our community. We are asking that each family donate four blankets. All right. They are currently $2 at Walmart. Now, I got something to say about that for a minute. If y'all were out there pushing and shoving folk Friday for a $99 TV that's only worth $5, you should be ashamed of yourself. You can order everything online nowadays. I don't need to see y'all pushing. I think some of y'all just want to just go out there just to, you know, elbow people, talk about, boo, get out the way. That's what you want to do. You want to go ahead and be unsafe for like 6 seconds, talk about, give me that TV. Boy, I tell you, you don't have to do that. Just order stuff online. That's why Amazon is doing good. Speaking of Amazon smile. Tomorrow is Cyber Monday. Look at that. So if you're using Amazon to place your orders, make sure that you use smile.amazon.com. www.divinetruthchristiancenter.com and select Divine Truth Christian Center when you do that. As a result, 0.5% of your purchase will go towards our church at no extra cost to you. That's another way of being able to donate. So if you're going to go ahead and blow the bank this particular month, go to smile.amazon.com in Jesus' name. You don't have to elbow anybody. You can just go to your computer screen, and at the click of a button, you don't have to get busted in the eye. You don't have to have a fat lip. You don't need to have one. All my saved people, that's a mugshot. Mugshot for those of you that didn't know what I was talking about. Everybody's like, what is that? I don't know what you're talking about. Lord have mercy. I don't know what type of folk y'all hang around, but maybe that's just me. Blessing bags are available for pickup. Please see Sister Akile Mara for those. We do have some blessing bags in the lobby for a couple of those. Do we still have some left? Yes, we still have some of those left. They are not going to magically enter into your hand. So what I would recommend that you do is that whoever does not have one, if you can hang out there, just shove them in their hands and say, give it away in Jesus' name. All right? It ain't going to hurt you. You see all types of people in different intersections. Instead of rolling up your windows, roll them down and give them a blessing bag instead. Amen? Amen. So don't... one thing about Divine Truth, you can't always wait for them to just volunteer to do stuff. Sometimes you have to volunteer them. All right. So there are some bags out there in the hallway. Get the bags, and before they leave, put them in their hands and be like, did you get one? They'd be like, no. Well, here you go. Now you could go ahead and give away something that didn't come from out of your pocket. It came from the church. We want to do this as a result of our ministry to the people that are in this community. So let's be consistent on that. All right. Also, the family room is available right across the hall in the conference room. Parents, you can tend to your children and still enjoy service. It is streaming live over there in the room right across the hallway. And the snack shack will be closed today. You know why? Because y'all still have all them leftovers. I don't know. In my house, we tried to get rid of all the leftovers within the last 3 days. So the snack shack will be closed today. And also, there's the dining room table is still for sale. Please see Sister Lady Martin. I'm sorry, y'all. See, that's what happens when I don't have church for a whole week. I'm just not in the groove, so y'all forgive me for this particular morning. But I got some good sleep. Someone say good sleep. Good sleep. I watched like a marathon of movies. I just sat there in the chair looking out at the window, just watching my movie. I was like, I don't want to do nothing. But we did a whole lot of stuff. We went to a lot of the events and a lot of the things around the city. And I told Lady Martin, I've checked out. So basically, I'm just going to be on the under the radar until January the 2nd. And then we could turn up again in Jesus' name. But just keep us in prayer. Our daycare hopefully will be going through its last hurdle this particular week in regards to our fire alarm. We already had one building expected to come by on Friday. You already seen the parking lot that we had to repaint that and put an ADA signage out there, and you know, still going back and forth. Anytime you open yourself up to the government, they have to legislate everything. So once we get past this, then they can stay out of our business and we can stay out of their business. In Jesus' name, Lord, have mercy. Hey, glory. Oh, Shaka. Shaka Zulu. All right. Well, go ahead. Y'all know what Shaka Zulu is? Oh, Truth Learning Academy. You see that on the board right there? Even if you have small children, the school is getting ready to open up very, very soon. All right. So $50 tuition voucher to be applied to the first week of enrollment. If you do that, also one free week pass from tuition to be applied after 90 days only. And Bright Lights referral program. For every child you refer to TLA that enrolls for the first 30 days, you get $25 off a week of tuition after a max of 4 children. All right. So let's support. Let's support. This is not a ministry, so to speak. It is actually truly a kingdom business. And so if you have people that are, you know, sending folk to people's houses to get babysat and all the other stuff like that, they ain't learning nothing. They just getting fed all types of candy and playing all day. That's it. But you could, and then hopefully in the spring, by the spring, we'll have our BBK program. Everything is a process. Someone say process.
Process.
Process. You don't just up and just have a business. Not a legitimate one. You can have an illegitimate business under the table all day long. But you can't get rich, so the people be taking you out like Greenleaf or coming in there like Greenleaf or like the IRS. I told somebody we're going to have a Greenleaf Bible study starting in January. Now, this is what you're not supposed to do, and this is how the church is not supposed to be. All right, all hearts and minds clear? Probably not after saying Greenleaf, though. All right. Let's go ahead and give. Amen. Go ahead and get a seed in your hand. I know that Thanksgiving was definitely a great time for myself. I definitely got a chance to have some rest, but I'm not done yet. I got some more rest to go in December. This is usually the time of year that we could fellowship, but I also want to encourage those of you that have a tough time during this time of year. Sometimes this time of year doesn't always bring the best memories, but always remember that you still have a family. You still have people that love you. They may not be related to you by blood, but they're definitely related to you by His Spirit. All right. So let's say a quick prayer for those that might be struggling during this holiday season. Father, we come to you right now. Touch those that may be hurting and that may be going through during this holiday season, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to just bring them comfort through a season of loneliness and maybe tired and strained loved ones that may be passed away during this time. Lord God, just refresh them and renew them right now. Bring them good memories and new mercies during this moment in time, Heavenly Father. Encourage them where they are and also bless these gifts that you are about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, people of God.
All right. Can we keep that
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Y'all good? Amen. So, Father, may I preach God's word with all that I have every time I grace this pulpit, regardless of how I feel, what the message is about, or who may be in attendance on this morning. Let your word go forth with power and demonstration. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, singers. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Well, I want to impart something into you on this particular morning. I think that God is doing a great and mighty work among his people, among his people. And it's so good that you all have pressed your way despite the holidays with whatever is going on. And so I'm just thankful to God, because I wouldn't be up here if it were not for each and every one of you supporting this ministry in whatever capacity that may be. And I know that we can do better and better in Jesus' name. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 32. 27 through 32. Again, as a side note, we do have a family room right across the hallway if you need to take the children out. Verse 27 says, after these things, he, being Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector, Lord have mercy, named Levi, sitting at the tax office, like Greenleaf, Lord have mercy. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You know, seedy people, you know, folk that don't always go to church, or, you know, they got problems and issues. But they love Jesus, though. They love Jesus, though. Verse 31 says, and I love the wisdom of Jesus. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repeating verse 31 again. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, sin sick. They may have money in their pocket. They may have great, powerful occupations, but on the inside, they're dying. So Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, the R word. The title of this morning's message is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house? I'm not a doctor, but I know I'm saved. When a person becomes sick, the first step is to get some rest or wait until it passes naturally or to be prescribed some type of medication. This is normally the case when an individual gets a common cold or other minor ailments that last 1 to 2 days or maybe a week at most. However, when the illness is very serious and requires a third party, like an EMT, emergency management technician for all my people around the corner, that has an ambulance or a loved one to intervene, to drive them to the place, you are going to be taken to the hospital. You can't medicate yourself when it's something serious. The reason for this is because the normal means of healing are not enough. At this stage, if you're in the car inside of an ambulance, you should realize that no patient gets healed by just showing up to the hospital. There is actually a process. You are admitted and screened by the support staff, and a prognosis is made. What is a prognosis? A prognosis is an educated guess on what may be wrong. I have a headache. Maybe you've been shopping all day. I'm talking about the man. My foot hurts. But did you twist your ankle playing basketball? See, those are prognosis. Those are educated guess by just, you know, that's what if you've had any type of experience or type of medical field, you can kind of look at it and you kind of can tell. And sometimes the prognosis is accurate, but other times it's off. So if the findings fit within a common set of categories, the patient is treated and subsequently released. That's if the prognosis is accurate. Conversely, if the prognosis is not enough, then a diagnosis is made. A diagnosis is very similar to a prognosis, except you go through a lot more to try to find out what's really going on. It takes more time. While you are waiting, you also realize that you're not the only one there at the hospital. You ever been to the emergency room? You think that you're the only one that's in there? I'm going to go at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sure there's no one that's going to be here. And then you look around and it's packed. Because for some of us, the emergency room is our primary physician. So as you look around, if you've ever been there, or ever been there on behalf of someone else, you'll notice that the place is filled with patients of every race, every sex, and ethnicity. And some of the people there are healthier than others, and leave the hospital with a clean bill of health. Yet there are others who are in worse situations, such as being on the brink of death or intensive care. It's at this moment that you become very concerned about your own state of affairs. I'm talking about when you go to the hospital and anxiety builds up in anticipation of the results. You've gone through all the testing. They're trying to get a diagnosis of why you've been coughing for 2 weeks or 3 weeks in a row, or why you've been throwing up blood, whatever it may be. I know I've been there. I know many of you have been there. And not only that, the more that you wait, the more that time goes by, you start wondering, it gets quiet. But then suddenly, a doctor flanked by nurses busts through your room to come and share some insight on what the condition truly is, as well as the next steps you can take, whether it may be surgery, medication, or nothing at all. Because sometimes our illness is not physical, but all up here. No wonder people have a love-hate relationship with hospitals. I mean churches. They're kind of interchangeable with each other. Not only do they have a love-hate relationship with the hospitals or churches, but also the people that work there. There's Nurse Betty and Nurse Ratchet. There's Dr. Johnson and then Dr. Who. There's Dr. Jesse and then Dr. Strangelove. So I think we are clear on what a hospital is, and most of us know or have experienced the same. But someone say plot twist. Oh Lord, let's try it again. Plot twist, y'all all right? Plot twist, here's the plot twist. I want you to add the word spiritual as a prefix to the word hospital. Spiritual hospital. Now this changes the dynamic quite a bit, because we're accustomed to knowing what a hospital is, but a spiritual hospital, that goes on much, much of a deeper level. So you need to know that I didn't fool you, but come closer. I have a secret to tell you. You are sitting in one right now. You're sitting in a spiritual hospital. It has different wings, different parts, different areas. It has staff. It has different levels to it. But it's also called a church. There are people in here, just in case you didn't know, that have all types of issues. Just look straight forward. some obvious, and some are hidden. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. See, y'all had a fun time last week, but I had a week to store up the word, and I'm going to give it to you this morning. So there are some people in this place, well, actually everybody in this place has issues, and some are obvious and some are hidden. But let me bring you on another secret. There is no need for you to try to guess what people are dealing with. As the last time I checked, No one in a hospital comes there to treat other patients or judge their condition. Last time I checked, when you hurting, you don't give a flip about what Betty Sue is doing over there in that other bed. She may be yelling out, you'd be like, ain't none of my business. I just want to get healed, get delivered, and get discharged. I mean, set free and get out of this place. So don't try to guess what other people are going through. If they tell you, if Betty Sue in the other bed tells you what's going on with her, that's when you need to say something. Outside of that, it's up to the great physician to talk and speak with them. Further, you need to realize that the root cause for all the issues that are present is sin, which was genetically passed down from two humans who had two tickets to paradise. These two humans genetically passed down their blood guiltiness, as the King James Version describes it, which is a condition that we are all born with, and if left untreated, will control our lives, isolate our souls, and lead to an untimely death of our spirits in fire. That's what happens when the disease of sin goes or is left unchecked. The character Levi was a person among many in the text that had the same sin condition we struggle with today. And he didn't even know it. He was walking around. You know how some people said they have walking pneumonia? Well, this person was walking in sin and didn't even know it. He thought that it was normal just to go ahead and take people's stuff because Caesar said to do so by any means necessary. He thought it was normal. That is, until he met the great physician, Jesus. Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 32. I hope you have your ears this morning. I'm going to try to pack it as much as I can and be on our way. Verse 27 says, and after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector. Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office in Seminole or Orange County. And he said to him, get up out of your chair and follow me. Like a natural hospital, the spiritual one must accept anyone regardless of their condition. Levi was a sinner, and his soul was in danger. Jesus saw this. But notice that Jesus didn't give him a diagnosis or a prognosis. I'm trying to teach you something, all my Jesus people who say that you're saved. I'm trying to teach you how to handle people. So Jesus didn't say what was wrong with you or give a prognosis. Most of the time he doesn't do that right out the gate. He just said, follow me. Meaning that Jesus knows how to deal with each of us in our own unique way. Amen. For this man, he just needed a word. Follow me. He didn't say clean up your life first. He didn't say straighten yourself out first. He didn't say get a job first, then come to church. He just said, follow me. That was for him. For another person says, get up, take up your bed and walk. Or do you want to be made whole? So Jesus always would ask the person, in some cases, do you want to be made well? But this particular man, he said, unequivocally, follow me. Verse 28 said this, and it says in verse 28, so he left all, wow, rose up and followed him. You mean that I don't have to worry about these taxes and none of this stuff? No. I'm not saying quit your job. I just said follow me. What I have to say to you is important enough for you to at least get up from where you are and do my will. To follow means to leave what was familiar to you, your past, and go to another level in God and walk in the ways of the Master, Jesus. To know him, know in the Hebrew is just like when Adam knew his wife. That means that they had intimacy, a physical intimacy with one another. To know in this particular context means to become more like him. To be intimate with him, to know the heartbeat of God. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. Look at this. Now notice this. He still had his issues. He was still a sinner. But oftentimes when you show people love, they are ready to give you a party. So then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Look at this. Look at my crew. All of us all together. I wonder why they all gathered there together to sit down with Jesus. I also wonder when we go among our family and friends who are sinners like tax collectors, they don't see any difference in us. There's also something about knowing that other people have issues too. You see, the tax collector sat down with Jesus and threw him a party, but he was like, I'm not the only one who's struggling in you fill in the blank. Everybody else is going to be over here too who got their struggles too. We're all here sitting at the great physician's feet. We thought that we were just going to party, but I think it's going to be a Holy Ghost party instead. So them all being together lets us know in this place, the person sitting next to you, you ain't got to look at them, just look forward. It's also struggling with fill in the blank. Whatever it may be, if you are here in this house today, you need healing and ongoing treatment. I would love for us to only have to go to the hospital one time in our entire life. But it's never like that. It never has been. Verse 30 says, and their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples. Now, I want you to notice the audience here. It didn't say the sinners were complaining against Jesus' disciples. It said religious folk who had an academic relationship with God. In other words, they knew the text, but they didn't know God. But I also want to flip that around because we have a lot of people that may not know everything about the Bible, but they sure enough know God. So their scribes and their Pharisees, religious people who did not have a relationship with God, came against the disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors, sinners, strippers, whoremongers, people who have sexual sin, people who got issues of every type, people who, you know, got stuff that don't really want to post about. So I have this lesson point right here. You have to be careful of people who want to hinder you or hinder your healing. You got to be careful of folk who say that they go to church faithfully, but don't really want you to get well. When people start questioning the changes, I'm trying to help you, you are making in your life, you do not need to be discouraged. Because when healing takes place, you are declaring that sin dysfunction is not normal. It's not normal to be off the chain. It's not normal. It may be normal in your old life, but it's not normal in your new life. And when you come around the people of God, it is you're supposed to feel some kind of way because we're trying to push you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. Whatever pace that may be, that's up to you. Because I believe sometimes our next breakthrough has a precursor or prerequisite called obedience. So when healing takes place, you're declaring that sin dysfunction is not normal, and you want to be made whole. I want to be made whole. I know I got issues. You can do a lot with somebody that says, I got issues. I'm struggling. I saw a meme on Facebook amongst many this particular weekend, and it was, no disrespect to my Florida State fans, but oh, Lord. I don't know what happened this weekend, but, you know. Some of the teammates were consoling one another, and one of the football players had tears coming out of his eyes as he was being consoled. And so the meme said, this is a moment when the person is going to the altar. And so the person who's crying right there at the altar is they just being consoled. But then the person who, and then at the bottom it says, but the person who really knows you knows that you ain't gonna change. And they face it like this. on them fumbles, boy, I tell you. Moving on, I'll move on. Y'all all right? Okay, well, just like that team, we ask individuals, do you want to be made whole? So when you want to do right, you don't need to listen to the noise around you while in the spiritual hospital. Have you ever gone into the hospital and or to the emergency room and it seems like it makes you more anxious because everybody's buzzing around? Or when you have pain inside of your own physical body, the doctors just walk right past you? It's almost like the preacher walking right past you and didn't shake your hand or didn't say good morning. It's not that he don't care. It's just that there's somebody that's a lot worse off than you that needs attention. You think that you're dying, but this other person is on the brink of death. So there's a lot of commotion that goes on inside of a hospital. There's a lot of commotion that goes on inside of a church. But I ask you, don't listen to all the noise. Close the door, just like sometimes you have to close the hospital door. But in the spirit, I'm asking you to close your eye gates. Don't look at things because they may not be what you really think that they are. Sometimes you have to close your ears. Stop listening to stuff that you don't, that you know that will pull you down. And the other gate is that mouth. Be careful who you put your mouth on or what comes out of the mouth. Amen. What goes into it ain't going to get you in trouble. It's what comes out that's going to get you in a lot of trouble. Some of us need mouth deliverance in Jesus. Gossip in Jesus' name. Talking about folk, talking about the pastor. Won't even talk to him to get the proper context. But it is what it is. So sometimes you have to close the door and wait on the doctor to tell you how to get healed and treated for your deepest issues. Verse 31 says, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. That is how Jesus unequivocally declares himself as the great physician. He says, I have not come to call the righteous. All my saved people ain't in here. Woo, woo. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Good for you. I'm trying to talk to the people who are not saved, but they come to church. Yeah, there's some of them in here too. So Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. Y'all all right. I've redeemed you. You're going to heaven. I'm going to give you some attention too. Don't worry about it. I'm still with you. But the ones who are in the ICU, the ones that are bleeding right now, that are on the brink of spiritual death, I call them sinners to repentance. Thankfully, Jesus was the answer to the question, is there a doctor in the house? We all need healing. We need treatment and instructions on how to deal with what ails us in this dark world. You know what's really wrong with you? You cool on the outside, but on the inside, if I put a movie up right now, I'll be able to see, oh, you done killed like 15 people. Done hung like 400 people. Done killed yourself like 400 times. Done drunk yourself into oblivion. Done slept with everybody in the neighborhood and again, and dare anybody to check you on that too. That's what many of us carry on the inside. We carry rage, we carry anger, malice, discontent, envy, strife, hatred, apathy. Just don't give a flip. House could be burning. Well, let me see what's on PlayStation Network. It's more than just that. God understands that. And he gives us instructions on how to deal with all of this stuff so that we won't get consumed with what is on the inside of us already. So as the great physician, I want to let you know that you are in the right place at the right time. And I want to share his treatment plan from start to finish. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? First, there is admission. You have to admit, confess that you have a problem. Sin. Ain't no perfect people up in here. Up in here, regardless of your socioeconomic status, from the rooter to the tutor, you have a problem, and it is sin. And while it may be hard to trace it, usually it manifests in a variety of symptoms. You must be born again before we begin. let me make it plain to you. It is hard for you to come to Jesus when he hasn't come to you first. Amen. It's hard for you to not be bored by the things of God when God is not on the inside of you. To some of you, you need to follow him. To others of you, you need to be obedient to him. Okay, so you have to go through the admission process. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 gives us the admission process from the scripture. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the admission part. That's number one. Number two, you have to have commitment. Commitment. Commitment is very important. You should see the slide on your screen. You got it with me, brother? Back there. All right. Commitment. See, he was committed to get that on the screen. What does this mean, Pastor Martin? I'd like to hear it. Here it go. You can't get healed in one day and leave. Amen. It takes time for you to stop being crazy with your crazy self. It takes time for you to get used to people checking on you, boo, and telling you can't slap you can't slap somebody like that and just expect it to be normal. No, it's not normal. You know what it also tells me? That sometimes you don't need a second opinion. You missed it. Well, let me go to this other church so that I can hear exactly what I need to hear. Let me go ahead and go to, you know, this church right around the corner, because they at Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. I think they dream killers. They just be telling me stuff that be going through my life. Pastor Martin Cooler and all that stuff. But he be talking about repentance and deliverance and hell and hot and you going unless you get right with God. You know, all the regular stuff. But you don't need a second opinion. You need to know the truth first. Number three, prognosis. Put that up there. Prognosis, prognosis. As I said it earlier, a prognosis is an educated guess on what's wrong with you. Guess what? I don't know what's wrong with every one of y'all in this place. I have no idea. But I do have a good prognosis about most of y'all by looking in your eyes. That's why y'all be looking all around, be playing with the kids while in service and stuff like that. Like, come on now. So I do have an idea, but I don't know the details until you reveal it. I think it's good that way, because if I get all up in your business and you didn't give me permission to, then I might be a target of your disease. Y'all missed the revelation of that right there. That'll help some of y'all other people in here that's trying to minister to others. If they didn't ask you, you don't need to step up off in their business. They know how to deal with Charles all by themselves. They got their way of doing things. And then when Charles get too much to handle, then you come and talk to me. Tell me. So prognosis is like an idea, but it's not definite. The staff, the leaders, and the physician's assistant or the pastor know. You can tell by your face. Your countenance is off. But we don't know every detail. I just can't believe they don't know what's going on between me and Charles. I just don't understand why this is happening like that. I'm just trying to endure. I'm just going. Are you holding on? Yeah, I'm yet holding on. You know, said that 5 Sundays in a row. But deep down, you'd be like, I wonder if they're willing to sit with me after church today. But that's okay. I think they're too busy. Nobody don't know that. Because last time I checked, ain't nobody could read minds in here except for Jesus. And I ain't Jesus. Can't you tell? But the people in here, the staff, the leaders of the church, the physician's assistant, that be me, know something is wrong, but not every detail. But I do have a methodology for you. Go see a man who will tell you all you need to know. And that's the word in the person of Jesus. Next is diagnosis, diagnosis, diagnosis. So we have an idea inside of God's spiritual house of what's going on with you. But ain't nobody know the details. But I'm happy that some of you understand that too. And I think that all goes with the strength of understanding number one, which is admitting that you got something going on. See, if you're inside of a good church, after a while you find out what you're struggling with. After a while you know. That's why I stopped posting what I'm going to preach about on Sundays. Amen. Before y'all see it. I got to catch you when you're here, because you know some Sunday be like, I don't want him to talk about that today. Let's go ahead and go to the next Sunday, because I... Surprise, we talk about spiritual hospital today. And I think it applies to everyone. Diagnosis. What's the real issue? What's really bothering you? I was being nosy, and I saw a post by an individual that was talking about how sometimes individuals go through emotional abuse, and they have to go through this long process of saying, it's not them. You're not the one who's done it. It's not your fault. And you have to go through this entire detoxification process before you can even love yourself. The real issue oftentimes when people are in tough relationships is a self-esteem issue. They don't love themselves like God sees them, and so they're willing to accept anything. That's an example. I don't know if that's you this morning, but sometimes people play on that. And when they play on that, they know that you have an issue in that area. And so they are not trying to heal you, but they're actually keeping the wound open. Amen. So that you'll never heal. Hey, isn't the ultimate goal for all doctors to be unemployed? But some of us stay employed because we keep wounds open versus healing. So what's the real issue? Is it carnality? Full of the flesh? Oh, you pray and cuss, and pray and cuss, and cry, and pray and cuss, and cry. Is it unforgiveness? You ain't gonna let nothing slide. They did it, and I have a long memory about what you did. But what about all the stuff you did? I'm just saying. Let's just be real. You got the meme on Facebook with all the knives in your back. Like, everybody done hurt you, but you ain't never had no knives in your hand? Never? You ain't never did nobody wrong in your life. Nobody. You lying. And the truth ain't in you. Everybody guilty. Welcome to Divine Truth Christmas, and where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Diagnosis. Is it hypocrisy? Oh, you want to tell everybody else that they crazy. But then what about you? Is it lust? Is it envy? Laziness? Pride? You can get a job in this economy. Guess what? You can fall out of the door in this economy and get a job. But guess what? You got to apply. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. But I got a felony on my record. Man, you can still work too. Too many examples to the contrary. Is it hatred? Is it rejection? Abandonment? Or a legion of issues? See, Pastor Martin, I don't just got one thing wrong with me. I got a whole bunch of stuff. Can you set an appointment? It's going to take like 3 months. I said, I don't know. I can only give you a prognosis, because you're going to have to see the great physician for some of this stuff. I don't have all the answers, but I can point you to the one who does. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13 gives us the biblical way, textually, how God gets out his scalpel, gets out his knife, and digs into us. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword is not a knife on one end and a knife on the other end. The two-edged sword is, that means that it's sharp on one side and on the other side. In other words, it can cut those that are listening and the one that is speaking. You get what I'm saying? It's two-edged. In other words, when I preach, it applies to me too. I have made it a point throughout my ministry and during the time when I was saved, because I saw so much corruption inside of the house of God, and because of among leaders, I never want to be above the word that I'm preaching to people. So when it applied to me, I go into my corner in my office and I grieve over it too. Be like, man, I need to get my life right. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the reason why you come to the house of the Lord, and that's the reason why your medicine doesn't always work. Amen. You know what happens? What happens when you take the same medicine over a long period of time? It starts what? You start getting immune to it. It doesn't have that kick anymore. Percocet. Yeah. Percocet. Yay. Percocet. It don't even work no more. You need something stronger. So, yeah, you self-medicating yourself. Going to the bar, going to Sheila's house. Man, Sheila got a whole bunch of issues. You know, your name is Sheila. I apologize in Jesus' name. It's only for demonstration purposes only. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit. The soul is your mind. So when you hear the word of God and you hear preaching, it helps you with your mind, your thinking, the stinking thinking. You know that church cliche that we heard over the years? Well, it's actually one cliche that is true. Because the word of God is like a lily in the valley. There's a sweet-smelling fragrance to it. And if your mind or your thought process stinks, it highlights it. So you have a choice to sit in the trash or take out the trash and put in some flowers instead, or the word. The soul and the spirit, that's the inward part of a person. That's a part of the person that is neglectful. Some of us have medicated on Facebook. Facebook will love you and hate you at the same time. You done unfollowed all them people. And it seems like the same thing that gets you upset is still popping up in your timeline. And the joints of the marrow, and it is discerned of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is, watch this, this is the part that really gets me. Now just think about a doctor with a stethoscope looking at your issue through a microscope or through a stethoscope, and it's getting your heartbeat, and there is no creature from his sight hidden. You means you can't hide from God. Why do you want to turn off the lights to sin? It's just like some of y'all that turn down the radio when you backing up. You using your eyes, not your ears. You're using your eyes. So there's nothing hidden from God, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him in whom we must give an account. Yeah, yeah. Here come the judge. No. I don't have to judge you. But God surely will. What is that standard going to be? Amen. What is that standard going to be? He is holy. But then there's treatment options. Let me help you with one treatment option. Since you're on your phone in service, go ahead and hashtag Divine Truth Christian Center. Where God, just put hashtag Divine Truth CC so you can let all your heathen friends know that you're in church this morning. Now, if you feel some kind of way about that, get off your phone in church. Treatment options. Go ahead and put it on up there. Treatment options. If it is a light affliction, I'm just trying to help you. Take two praise breaks with regular worship and call him every morning. You missed it. Oh, you missed it. A light affliction, it means that you're going through a little bit of trouble right now. I don't know whether or not I'm going to pay rent. I'm $500 short. Man, that's a lot. $250 short, because you done asked everybody, so you're down to $250 now. But it's a light affliction. Praise God. Take two praise breaks if you need to. With regular worship, staying in the presence of God, and call on the Lord every morning. Because light afflictions will always be there and go through phase in our life. Number two, if it's deep pain, you will need heart surgery. Deep pain. People will hurting very badly. Heart surgery means that, guess what? I have to dig in to your heart. Dig into your heart and to see what's going on with you. Okay. What is really bothering you? Why do you have an adverse reaction when there? Oh, how is this thing? Let me go to my back row right here. I'm going past you. You cool. Let me go back to my past row. Y'all good? Y'all all right? I'm going to preach here from the corner. Oh, I see phones back here. Two phones, one for the plug. Okay, all right. Let me keep on going. If it's deep pain, you will need heart surgery. In other words, sometimes I have to reach into your heart, or that's what God is saying, to find out really, where does that pain come from? Who blocked your flow? Maybe it's you. Maybe you hurting yourself. We don't like to say it when we hurting ourselves, do we? That's that deep pain. That's that when you get into a relationship, they are trying to deal with you for 10 years and they finally figured out what's wrong with you after 10 years type pain. Because sometimes we get so hurt until we don't even know ourselves. We repress it. Repressing it is not dealing with it. What about if it's a growth in the flesh? You woke up this morning, now you got an arm sticking out your neck. If it's a growth in the flesh, then OT Genesis says you got to cut it. You got to cut it. What do you mean fleshly behavior? You just going to just be ratchet? You need to be in God's presence a whole lot, because ratchetness is not going to get you blessed. It's going to get you in a lot of trouble. It's going to get you kicked out of McDonald's at 11 o'clock at night. The police are going to call you at flyers because you done turned up. And you're going to tell everybody what the half at you got going on in your life right now. You got to cut it out. In other words, cutting of the flesh means that you got to be more mature with your emotional state. You push at 45 years old, you still talk about something, you finna go up there and beat up everybody at the job? Come on, man. That time is done. Do that when you're in your 20s. Then when you're in your 20s, you could take a couple of licks and keep on ticking. You could bounce back. But when you start getting up there, man, them hits start, them bruises last for like 3 months now. I'm being funny, but I am dead serious. When you're young, you still got elastic skin. You could just wake up and just put some olive oil. They don't even have that no more, do they? Yeah. They do? Oh, okay. That's like the, I'm dating myself with You can just put it on and be like, hey, ain't nothing wrong. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm living life like it's golden. But then as you get older, you can't bounce back from all them hits like that. But some people stay fleshly all their lives and they wonder why they can never get to the next level. Some things you just got to cut off. You can't keep on doing it. I think many of us have a codependency with things that we don't need in our life. Last but not least, if it's tormenting thoughts, you need a renewing of your mind. That takes time. Repetition is the mother of skill, the father of memory. So some things you have to do over and over and over again. If you're always waking up with negative thoughts or going to bed with negative thoughts, you need a daily devotional, a morning devotional, so that you can have a dose of God before you go out into work, before you cuss Sheila out. And then you need a dose of God before you come home, before you cuss Charles out. You're getting it on both ends. I feel you. I have a question as I close. Do you want to be made whole? Well, the hospital of divine truth, designed to get well and release healing of your soul, is at your service. But I have a disclaimer. There will be some discomfort. There will be some discomfort. But you have to ask yourself, do you want a hospital or a hospice? Do you want a hospital or a hospice? If you want a hospital, I can help out. I'm a good physician's assistant. At least that's what they tell me. I don't know if they lied to me or not. In other words, when you come to this hospital, can't speak for anybody else's, but when you come to this hospital, we'll take you through those treatment plans to help you get better. It'll take some time. You'll be uncomfortable. How many of y'all know that you have ever gone through surgery and it was painful? And you were probably mad before you even saw the doctor. You were cutting the doctor's eyes out with your eyes. Because they were telling you you're about to go through surgery. And then when you go through the healing process, it's painful. You got to take medicine and you got to go through rehab. And it takes time. And then you get mad at the people because when you got messed up, it was like an accident. So when the accident happened, you got messed up quickly, so you figured that you'd get healed quickly. But the accident is not the problem. It's what got you in the accident in the first place. That's what we're trying to address. So if you want a hospital, this is a good place for you. And guess what? You could tell other people about it too. It's just like Winnie Palmer. You know that hospital down, Great Hospital? Most people that I've heard of have said that when it comes to pediatrics, that's one of the best hospitals in all of the United States. And you want to go there when you got something wrong with you. That's just like a good church. Now, there's pain in Winnie Palmer. There's crying in Winnie Palmer. Sometimes you got to wait a long time. And the doctor don't have no time to see you. Or when he does see you, he just be like, hello, goodbye. And you feel some kind of way. But you always have to realize that there's other patients inside of the room. Or do you want a hospice? A hospice is, in other words, a hospital is a church that will tell you the truth in love. It'll hurt you sometimes. It'll make you not want to come to church for a couple of weeks or even unfollow me. Or turn off all the notifications out of Divine Truth Christian Center family. But at the end of the day, in the long run, you'll be healthier for it. That's a good church. Or do you want a hospice? A hospice is when it's designed for comfort in death, to ease your pain without any changes. If you don't want me to tell you the truth, if you don't want me to tell you that you need to get your life together and that you need the share of love of God and that you need to love your neighbor as yourself and you actually need to be obedient to his word for a better life, then this is not the place for you. I don't want this to be a place where people come to die in their flesh. I want you to see the change that God has for you. So can you sign release papers? In other words, your actions determine which direction you will go. Choose this day who you will serve or will see. See, we have to have permission in order to get into your life. You know what that permission is? When you come through those doors, that's like you giving us permission to come into your life because you have been admitted into the operating table. That's what this is. But you have to make a choice on what type of treatment that you want to have. You can stay the same or you can see the great physician. You can continue to be hurt and stay with the devil. Or you can get in the presence of God. Only one can take care of your condition while the other makes you feel good without changing your condition. When you are saved, you are healed from the root disease of sin, the effects of sin, and the final stage of sin. Why? Because there was a heart transplant and a blood transfusion. Lord have mercy. Y'all stand to your feet right there for that one right there. You missed it. I'm going to say it again. When you are saved, you are healed from the disease called sin. The effects of it don't all go away, but the root of it has been destroyed because you have had a heart transplant and a blood transfusion. In other words, God took your heart of darkness and changed it to a heart of light. You were born with blood guiltiness of sin. But then when Jesus came in, he gave you a blood transfusion from out of his veins in the spirit and into your veins so that you can live again. Isaiah 53 verse 5 brings it all to a wonderful conclusion. And it also will teach you what this really means. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, I got a question for you. Sometimes in the church, we use this as a description for our physical healing. But the verses, when you read them, are not talking about just physical healing. It's talking about spiritual healing. You get this? He was wounded for what? Our bruises that we got for riding that bicycle too fast in the street? No. Wounded for our transgressions. What are our transgressions? All of the stuff that you did that was sinful in the eyes of God. That's the transgressions, the stuff that we commit that we know that are wrong, but we do it anyway. Yes. All right. He was bruised for our iniquities. What is iniquity? Iniquity isn't a condition at the corner store. No. Iniquity is the stuff that you do over and over again. And you know it's wrong, but you do it anyway. So a transgression is when you do it wrong. It is what it is. You don't know all about it. But an iniquity is when you know it's wrong, but it's like the case of the can't help it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. When your brain is raging in the middle of the night and you got the fast thoughts and you can't even drink it away, sex it away, smoke it away, or work it away, he says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And all those stripes that Jesus took across his back is so that you can cast your cares upon him to help you not to worry about stuff. When you understand the revelation of this as the great physician, then you'll be healed. That's what true healing is. Now, what about staying healthy? Come on, Jamar, staying healthy. Now, how do you stay healthy? Can you learn all of this stuff and then next week be like, I got it? How many of y'all have ever tried that? I got it. I got God down pat. I know what's wrong with me. And then you end up in the same predicament all over again. Guess what, y'all? The church is designed to be a lifetime endeavor. You don't graduate from the body of Christ. Amen. You can be elevated within the body of Christ or a different part of the body, but you never leave it. You don't graduate to not wanting to come to church. Put it this way. You never graduate to the point to where you don't need to come to church anymore. If you know enough about the Bible, that means you need to be teaching somebody. But if you ain't teaching anybody, then it's going nowhere. And you're not being obedient to God. So this is how you stay healthy. You love God, which is the owner of the hospital. How many of y'all have ever seen the owner of the hospital? But you know that there is one. Because if there was no owner, then everything wouldn't be able to go forward. So you got to love God as the owner, and you got to love one another. Did you know that the person sitting next to you, if they're saved, they're a former patient? They're no longer hurting. So now you can help others heal. That's what happens to all of you all that get bored and start yawning and be like, I know this already. Oh, because you know it already. Now, how come I don't see any sick people being brought here by you? Since you know all this already. Sounds to me like you need to sit down and listen for a little while longer. You haven't turned into a physician assistant yet. And then finally, the discharge plan. Did you know that when you get discharged from the spiritual hospital, see, you come in as a patient and then you turn into a worker, but you never leave the building. You may leave the physical building, but you never leave the body. In other words, when you go to your apartment, to your house, you're given home health care. You're carrying out the instructions at a dwelling place. Heaven is the discharge plan of being in the presence of God forever. And that, my friend, is when total healing comes. Total healing for whatever is bothering you comes when all flesh dies in Christ. Pastor, I don't understand. I've had this disease and I've been coming to church every Sunday and it still won't go away. Well, sometimes God will teach you how to endure it so that you can help somebody else. But when you do go to heaven, you won't have to be bothered by those things anymore. So as I go and as I conclude, is there a doctor in the house? This is the last slide, Jamar. Yes. His name is Jesus. He is the only one to never lose a soul. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for allowing for us to be able to understand the purpose of this place, the purpose of each other. I pray for every leader that's in this place, Lord God, that they would help others to be able to learn about themselves and also be able to start the healing process. Lord God, I pray for those that are new patients coming into the house, that they can understand that this is not a place of judgment. And we'll come in as much as you allow for us to come in. Let us all love one another. And let us all love you, Lord God. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord in this place. Is there a number? Jesus is the doctor. He is the great physician. Amen. Amen. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants you to be made whole. Bless people of God. If you need prayer, just come on up to the altar. I'll be here with you just for a few minutes. In Jesus' name, be blessed.